So these were wed, and merrily rang the bells, and merrily ran the years, 7 happy years, 7 happy years of health and competence, of mutual love and honourable toil, with children. First, a daughter. In Enoch woke with his first babe's first cry, the noble wish to save all earnings to the uttermost, and give his child a better bringing up than his had been or hers. A wish renewed when 2 years after came a boy to be the rosy idol of her solitudes while Enoch was abroad on wrathful seas. Then came a change, as all things human change. 10 miles to northward of the narrow port opened a larger haven. Thither used Enoch at times to go, by land or sea, and once when there, and clambering on a mast in harbour, by mischance he slipped and fell. A limb was broken when they lifted him, and while he lay recovering, his wife bore him another son, a sickly one. And on Enoch fell, lying thus inactive, doubt and gloom. He seemed as in a nightmare of the night, to see his children leading evermore low, miserable lives of hand to mouth, and her he loved, a beggar. Then he prayed, "Save them from this, whatever comes to me." And while he prayed, the master of that ship Enoch had served in, hearing his mischance, came, for he knew the man and valued him, reporting of his vessel, China-bound, and wanting yet a boatswain. Would he go? There yet were many weeks before she sailed from this port. Would Enoch have the place? And Enoch all at once assented to it, rejoicing at that answer to his prayer. Then first, since Enoch's golden ring had girt her finger, Annie fought against his will, yet not with brawling opposition she, but manifold entreaties, many a tear, many a sad kiss, by day, by night renewed, sure that all evil would come of it, besought him, supplicating, if he cared for her or his dear children, not to go. He, not for his own self-caring, but her and her children, let her plead in vain. So grieving, held his will, and bore it through. And Enoch faced the morning of farewell brightly and boldly. As a brave, God-fearing man bowed himself down, and in that mystery where God in man is one with man in God, prayed for a blessing on his wife and babes, whatever came to him, and then he said, "Annie, this voyage, by the grace of God, will bring fair weather yet to all of us. Come, Annie, come, cheer up before I go." At length she spoke, "Oh, Enoch, you are wise, and yet for all your wisdom, well I know that I shall look upon your face no more." "Well, then," said Enoch, "I shall look on yours. Annie, the ship I sail in passes here." He named the day. "Get you a seaman's glass, spy out my face, and laugh at all your fears. Annie, my girl, cheer up, be comforted, look to the babes, and till I come again keep everything shipshape, for I must go, and fear no more for me, or if you fear, cast all your cares on God. That anchor holds. Is he not yonder in the uttermost parts of the morning? If I flee to these, can I go from him? And the sea is his, the sea is his. He made it." And Enoch rose, cast his strong arms about his drooping wife, and kissed his wonder-stricken little ones. But for the third, the sickly one, who slept after a night of feverous wakefulness, when Annie would have raised him, Enoch said, "Wake him not, let him sleep. How should the child remember this?" And kissed him in his cot. But Annie, from her baby's forehead, clipped a tiny curl and gave it. This he kept through all his future. But now hastily caught his bundle, waved his hand, and went his way.